Unknowing. Donovan Curtis. IQ 112. When the paper airplane bounced off the back of the driver's head, the man pulled the bus over onto the shoulder. He got out of his seat, picked up the offending aircraft, and waved it at us. Honest, it wasn't me. The last thing I wanted to do at the academy was draw attention to myself. But I was so used to getting blamed for stuff that I braced myself for the onslaught. Interesting experiment, the driver said in an approving tone. The air moves with the bus, so the plane flies normally. An open window would interfere with that. The more open windows, the greater the interference. And if the bus had no roof, the plane would be half a mile behind us. Whoa, even the academy bus drivers were gifted. If you chuck a paper airplane at someone, they assume you did it for science. On my old bus, the driver would have held us all hostage until we gave up the person who did it. Probably me. And you can bet that interesting experiment wouldn't have been what he called it. Mutiny, maybe. Or armed insurrection. There was a smattering of applause as a seventh grader, flushed with triumph, reclaimed his plane, and we were underway again. Soon we arrived at the Academy for Scholastic Distinction, which looked absolutely nothing like a school, if you ask me. It was, by far, the most modern building in town. Every inch of the place was covered with solar panels. On sunny days, it was like pulling up to a jewel-encrusted palace. Supposedly, the students had worked with the architects who designed it. The academy was 100% eco-friendly, right down to the bathrooms, where the toilets had different flush settings, depending on the kind of waste you were getting rid of. There was no button for cherry bomb, which is what the teachers invested a lot of energy preparing for at my old school. Mr. Del Rio, the principal, stood outside the automatic sliding doors, greeting his students with handshakes. At Hardcastle Middle, you never saw the principal unless you did something wrong, which, in my case, was fairly often. Mom always used to say, "Donnie gets a lot of personal attention at the very highest level at that school." She was so proud that I was at the academy now, I felt a pang of guilt for the bogus reason behind it. Determination surged through me. Maybe I could hack it here. After all, half of being gifted was just the fact that everybody expected you to be smart. Like that seventh grader on the bus. No way was that any experiment. The guy made a paper airplane, and he couldn't resist flying it. Well, couldn't resist was practically my middle name. I wasn't that different from the academy kids. Obviously, I was never going to star at this place. But with hard work, a little bit of luck, and a lot of good acting, I might just be able to fake it. If X represents the vector of variables, B and C are vectors of known coefficients, and A is a matrix of coefficients, determine the maximum value of the objective function C to the T power X. I stared at the problem until my liquefied eyeballs were about to drip out of their sockets and roll down my cheeks. All around the math room, my classmates were working away, calculating and figuring. It went without saying that I couldn't do it. Man, I couldn't even read it. In the next row, Noah Euclid was scribbling away like it was the easiest thing in the world. The kid really was gifted, although anybody who looked like Noah and wasn't gifted would have a genuine complaint. Picture a 4'11" praying mantis suffering from extreme malnutrition, with a long nose and glasses that were last in style when President Truman wore them. As he plowed methodically through the page, I couldn't help noticing what a dark pencil he was using. The numbers really stood out against the bright white of the worksheet, Another thing about me. I've been blessed with excellent peripheral vision. Well, what was I supposed to do? Sit there while the period ticked away? According to Ancestry.com, my great-great-great uncle was a spotter during World War I. He floated over the battlefield in a hot air balloon and peered down into the German trenches. It didn't explain much about me, since he never tried to bungee jump out of the basket. But it was probably why it was so easy for me to copy the answers off Noah's paper. I tried to get a few wrong, which was actually pretty tricky. I understood so little that it was impossible to know what a reasonable mistake might be. Even cheating was harder in this place. Noah scrambled up on scrawny legs and handed his paper to Miss Bevilacqua. "I'm done." She glanced at it and then handed it back without so much as notation. "All right, Noah, do it properly this time." The praying mantis hunched a little farther forward. "I'm working to the best of my ability. It's not my fault this math is too hard. I'll never get it right." His lower lip quivered. The teacher nodded understandingly. "Poor you. It isn't easy to master calculus in middle school." "This isn't calculus, it's linear programming," Noah blurted. "Everybody knows that." "Right," she said triumphantly, "including you." She motioned him back toward his seat. He looked bummed at getting caught, but he couldn't have been half as bummed as I was. In a class of geniuses, I had copied from the guy who got it wrong on purpose. Luckily, there were plenty of fish in the sea. I leaned a little closer to Abigail Lee, who was motoring through the assignment at almost Noah speed. I remembered her from elementary school, where she'd been all universe at anything that took brains. Her writing wasn't quite as clear, but beggars can't be choosers. At least I had the reasonable belief she wasn't trying to fail. What was up with this Noah kid? I couldn't imagine. "Hey," Abigail hunched over, blocking my view of her paper. "What do you think you're doing?" I played dumb. "What?" I covered my worksheet like I was preventing her from copying from me. "Miss Bevilacqua," she bawled. "Donovan's cheating." "Chill out," I tried to hiss. "I'm not going to chill out. If we have the same answers, we'll both get zero. I've never had a zero in my life. I can't get zero. I work too hard to get zero. What am I going to tell my tutors if I get zero?" She was red in the face, heading for purple. Noah seemed genuinely bewildered. "Well, if you're looking for the right answers," he asked me, "why don't you just calculate them?" "Big talk from the freak who goes out of his way to put down the wrong ones," I retorted. That got Chloe's back up. "Watch who you're calling a freak, you troglodyte." "Yeah?" I spat back. "Well, I don't know what that is, so trog whatever to you two." Then this girl JC, who said random things at moments of stress, announced, "In Brazil, more cars run on ethanol than regular gas." It had the effect of a referee's whistle, separating the combatants from their clinch. I learned a few things in that class. First, the regular student code about not ratting people out, that didn't apply at the academy. Second, nobody knew how to deal with cheating because it never happened. No one needed to do it. Third, zero is a four-letter word. Amazingly, I didn't really get in trouble, although it was pretty obvious who was copying from whom. I wasn't sent to the office. There was no detention. Nobody even yelled at me, which was a first in my educational experience. Instead, my homeroom teacher, Mr. Osborne, came and suggested we take a walk. At Hardcastle Middle, if you're caught off campus during school hours, they've practically got guard towers to gun you down. I was beginning to see that they had two sets of rules in our district. One for the brainiacs, and one for everybody else. Of course, I was living the good life now. But I still took it personally, since I knew it was all a mistake. "Look, Donovan," Mr. Osborne said pleasantly, "at the academy, we've got kids who are talented at a lot of different subjects, but very few of us are good at everything. If you're not up to this math, it's no disgrace to admit it. In fact, it happens all the time. We have regular classes, too." I nodded dumbly. "This is a period of discovery," he went on. "We're getting to know you, and you're getting to know us. And during that process, we'll explore where your true gifts lie. Are there any fields of study that really turn you on?" I hesitated. Sooner or later, somebody was going to realize that my presence here was completely bogus. But, also sooner or later, my namesake, James Donovan, would have joined his fellow Titanic passengers at the bottom of the ocean. He'd survived by staying afloat until the rescuers could get to him, by making it later rather than sooner. I had to keep swimming. "I think," I said aloud, "that we should stick with the exploring part a little while longer." He nodded approvingly. "Very wise. Let's not rush into anything. But promise me you'll join the robotics team and help out with Tin Man. I mean, our entry." "Last time I touched Tin Man, his hand fell off," I reminded him gently. He shrugged it off. "You'll watch and learn. That's what the Academy is all about." "Thanks, Mr. Osborne," I mumbled. "Call me Oz. I hate it when adults do that." The Hardcastle Mall used to be one of my favorite hangouts. Tonight, though, it looked a little drab and in need of a facelift. It wasn't the mall that had changed. It was just that school was newer, nicer, and cleaner. The Academy, not Hardcastle Middle, obviously. Our cafeteria had better options than the food court, and the prices were lower. We didn't even have the dumb rules that ruined everything. For example, soda was banned at my old school because of the sugar content. But the Academy lunchroom had a drink machine that was open to everybody. It even sold the extra sugar, extra caffeine stuff. It was fine, even necessary, to fuel the brainiacs through late-night studying marathons. But if one of the ungifted kids at Hardcastle happened to get a sip, he'd go straight out and rob a bank. Technically, my 6-month ban for swimming in the fountain was still in effect, but the security guard who had busted me wasn't on duty. It was a bum rap. It isn't skinny dipping if you're wearing boxers. Besides, if the air conditioning is going to break down on a 90-degree day, it's management's responsibility to fix it before people start looking for other ways to cool off. The Daniels had never experienced the Academy cafeteria, so they thought the food court was fine dining. We weren't eating anyway. I was on a bench, trying to ignore the Daniels' whooping and yipping, designed to catch the attention of a couple of girls. "Do something funny, Donovan," Nussbaum urged. "Chicks eat that stuff up." I glared at him. "If you want to talk to Heather Mahoney, why don't you walk over there?" "Because that would be lame," he explained reasonably. "She has to come to me." "Jump in the fountain again," Sanderson urged me. "That's an attention grabber." "You jump in the fountain," I shot back. He grabbed me under the arms, but I disarmed him with a punch to the gut before Nussbaum could help him wrestle me into the water. It did the trick, though. Heather and her friend, Deirdre somebody, were ambling in our direction. "Hi, Donovan," Heather addressed me. "Haven't seen you for a few days. Were you sick? Donovan's a genius now, Sanderson supplied. He goes to the Gifted Academy. Really? Deidre was impressed. Don't you have to take a lot of tests for that? It's no big deal, I put in quickly, studying the floor. You're telling me, Nussbaum exclaimed. You know how he got picked? He's only there because... I stomped on his sneaker hard, silencing him before he could say more. Donovan! Came another voice. It took me a second to recognize her. It was Chloe from the academy. She said something to a middle-aged woman and headed toward our table. Who's that? Sanderson asked. She's in my new homeroom, I replied. Nussbaum snickered. Nice lumberjack shirt. Funny. Surrounded by the kids at the academy, Chloe looked kind of good. Call it the Euculus factor. The Gifted crew wasn't exactly fashion week. Yet next to Heather and Deirdre, you could tell she was out of her league. Those two wore skinny jeans and vintage t-shirts that were just, well, bright. Chloe wasn't ugly or anything like that. In fact, she had a pretty face. But you had to concentrate to notice it. She wore no makeup, and her loose flannel shirt gave her a lumpy appearance. A huge button on her lapel declared, "That's okay, Pluto. I'm not a planet either." It clanked as she walked. I was surprised to see her at all outside of school. I always thought of her as one of those people who suddenly whooshes into being at the sound of the first bell in the morning and winks out again when the clock strikes 3:30. "Hi, Donovan," she greeted me eagerly. "Do you live around here?" "Hey, Chloe." She was looking expectantly at the others, so I semi-introduced them. "Meet the guys." "Hi, Chloe." Nussbaum stepped forward and pumped her hand. The grin on his face was barely this side of idiotic. "How does it feel to have Donovan in the academy? I mean, is he gifted or what?" "I think it's or what," Sanderson said with a smirk. Chloe could tell they were messing with her, but she had no idea how much. "Donovan's cool," she offered tentatively. She turned back to me. "Sorry about what happened in math today. How did it go with Oz?" For some reason, I felt I had to defend myself. I never meant to cheat off Abigail. I was trying to cheat off Noah. How was I supposed to know he puts down the wrong answers on purpose? I thought he was this big genius. "He definitely doesn't feel the need to prove it," she replied with a sympathetic smile. "Abigail's the opposite. If she ever brought home a B+, it would be the end of the world." She practically tore my head off. "She's under a lot of pressure," Chloe explained. "She does just about everything, and she's keeping half the tutors in town in business. She pushes herself pretty hard." "I never thought the gifted kids had problems," mused Deirdre. "It's those big brains," Nussbaum supplied wisely. "It makes a person top-heavy, out of balance, like the Atlas statue." "How crazy was that?" Heather exclaimed. "I was at the game. The girl at the end of my row was covered in broken glass." "They still haven't found the guy who did it," Deirdre added. "I heard it was an accident," I suggested, looking daggers at Nussbaum. "Wear and tear on the statue. It can't be easy to hold up the weight of the world in the wind and rain year after year, especially when it's attached by one bolt." "One bolt," Chloe repeated dubiously. "That's pretty shoddy engineering. We put more thought into Tin Man's stress points." "Tin Man?" Sanderson echoed. "Our class robot," I answered, and bit my tongue. "I mean, the robot that happens to live in the homeroom I got assigned to."
"It's your robot, too," Chloe said generously. "You're on the robotics team now. Maybe you'll put us over the top at the big meet. We've come in second to Cold Spring Harbor 3 years in a row. You could just see the Daniels swelling up with joy at this new information. Not only did I go to the nerd school, but I was on the robotics team, which was nerd squared. No way could I ever live this down in only one lifetime. Chloe waved at the woman she'd arrived with. Gotta go. My mom's done shopping. She beamed at me. See you tomorrow.
See you, I mumbled.
We should hop too, Heather put in. Our ride will be here any minute. I hated to see them leave. When it was just me and the Daniels, I knew I was going to get it.
Nussbaum didn't disappoint.
Some girlfriend you've got there, Donovan. Or is she just a regular friend and you're dating Tin Man? I can't believe Tin Man's cheating on Tin Woman.
Sanderson clucked disapprovingly.
She must be hot. She probably doesn't wear her grandfather's plaid shirt.
Shut up, you guys. Chloe's not my girlfriend and it isn't my robot. I'm only on the robotics team because my homeroom teacher is the coach. I have to try to fit in over there, and believe me, it isn't easy. And not just because I haven't got the brain power. You heard about the guy who tried to flunk the math test. The teacher had to trick him into admitting he understood it. So he's a genius and a moron all in one. It's a nut house.
Well, it's not safe to come back to Hardcastle yet, Sanderson advised. We had an assembly today, and that guy Schultz was standing right at the door. He looked at every single face that came into the gym. I'll bet he's searching for you, man. He didn't even stick around. He just watched us file in and took off.
I felt ice-cold tentacles wrapping around my stomach. It was my worst fear coming true, but at least it settled one issue. All day, I'd been asking myself what I was doing at the Academy for Scholastic Distinction. Now I knew. I was hiding out.